With humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, this is Prem and with me is Arvind and we welcome you to this week's afternoon satsang. Today is a very special day and if you've been with us since Morning Glory and the Sunrise with Sai segments, you'll know that this is for us a very special day because this was the day where it all began for us, in a sense. So, it is with a lot of joy that we are here, myself and Arvind, to share with you the beautiful things which happened on this day very well 11 years ago. Before that, I invite Brother Arvind to join me in the satsang and on behalf of him and all our listeners, I offer my most humble and loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Sai Ram Arvind.
Sai Ram Prem and Sai Ram to all our dear listeners. It's really so amazing to think that 11 years have passed since that day when, you know, Swami was just 2 feet away here sitting on this chair. So magnificent. For all our listeners who have not tuned in from the morning, let me just briefly recollect what happened on the 29th of August. Well, Prem, at that time, neither of us were part of Radio Sai. It was much later that we joined Radio Sai, but it still feels so amazing to know that we are sharing the same space with Swami. It was in the morning after the session in the mandir that Swami came in the red Benz car. The car stopped right in front of the studio. Swami was bare feet. It was, I don't think it was a Benz car. It was a BMW car. Yes. And Swami stopped in front of the studio. He got down. He was bare feet as always. Gently climbed up the steps. I remember seeing the video where, you know, Swami remarks that he's very happy with the steps because those steps were specially made with a very little height. Right. So that Swami can easily climb. Swami walks into the studio. Before walking there, he stands at the big wooden doors that are there. There's a ribbon tied and Swami cuts the ribbon with a gold-plated scissors. And you know, there was one beautiful incident that happens there also. The scissors is in gold definitely because we feel that we have to give the best to the Lord. But you know, Swami is actually struggling to cut the ribbon because the scissors is not sharp enough. And so though the scissors is a golden one, Swami gives it back to the boy who offered it and says, hey, it's not good, in a very joking manner. But you know, just seeing that scene itself, I felt there are so many messages in it. For once, it is not how we look or how we present ourselves that matters. It is how good we are at our work that finally matters to the Lord. Because I'm sure that instead of the golden scissors, if there had been a stainless steel one, which was sharp enough to do its job, Swami would have been happier. A very, very small thing that happened, but such a profound lesson, I sure was thrilled by it.
Definitely, you know, after that, Swami came in and lit that beautiful lamp which was there in front of Swami's picture. That picture still is there. And then Swami came in and he was shown through the various sections, you know. Now to look at it, now that entire section where Swami walked through is only the radio part of the whole organization. But then the first bay was that of the video section and the second one was of the audio
section.
And the third one is the photographs.
Archive, huh?
The photograph archives. Now to think of it, that whole section is only the, you know, the administrative and the radio team. In fact, the whole building here.
Exactly, Prem. You know, that whole section which was actually presented as three different aspects of Radio Sai then has today become part of one aspect because, you know, the radio team is not completely in that area. We have now got a new area. I don't know if our listeners are aware of that, but recently we have had a refurbishing in the studio done. A studio has been extended to accommodate more people so that more of Swami's work in spreading Swami's message can go on. It's such a thrill. It's such a wonderful thing just to imagine how much it has grown from that moment when Swami set foot in the studio.
Very true. And you know, even as we were seeing that video, Swami walking in through those steps, the very idea that those are the very steps we take every day. And you know, the way where Swami walked past that way, that's the way we walk through every day. That itself gives such a thrill when we were seeing those video, in that video, dear listeners. And, you know, that is the energizing which Swami does to all of us.
Correct, Prem. Because, you know, I remember on one occasion, it was in Trai Vrindavan, there were some students sitting at, as always near the jeweler at Swami's feet. They were massaging Swami's feet. And that was the day Swami decided to go into what each of those 9 steps of devotion or 9 forms of devotion as they are called. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sneham and Atman Nivedanam. What each of them means. And I feel, you know, maybe someday we can take that up as a topic, because Swami went into great depth and gave really wonderful insights. I would like to focus on one of them today, you know, because that is Pada Sevanam. When it came to Pada Sevanam, Swami said, what is meant by Pada Sevanam? You think that these 3 boys are doing Pada Sevanam because they are pressing Swami's feet. And then he said, this is not Pada Sevanam, this is just pressing the feet. True Pada Sevanam is when you are able to walk the steps, in the footsteps of your master. You are supposed to walk the path that your master has walked. That is true Pada Sevanam to your master, to your guru. And as you said, when we see that daily we are walking along the same path that Swami walked, it sure is a great inspiration for all of us to understand that our lives here must be one of true Pada Sevanam.
And you know, talking of the Trayi session that you mentioned, you know, I'm reminded of another incident which happened during a Trayi session, and excuse me, I feel it's a very important event which happened that day in the context of talking about Radio Sai and its activities. You know, that particular day, Swami just threw a very profound and confounding question to the students. Okay. He said, what is my greatest miracle? You know, what defines my powers? And
love?
You can imagine gathering of 300 students, and each one saying all kinds of things. And things which Swami himself has told, you know. Somebody said that, Swami, you can turn the sky into the earth and the earth into the sky. And someone said,
I think one Swami has even said that, you know, you are my greatest miracle.
Right. And so all those answers, you know, you can transform, Swami, that is the thing. And you can make man into God, and all kinds of answers, which were all, you know, correct in their own way. But I think it didn't fit the message of the day, and what Swami was actually saying was his greatest miracle.
Okay.
So everybody is wondering, what is Swami's greatest miracle? And then Swami went on to say, he said, see, so much is happening around Swami. Swami is doing so much in so many people's lives. You know, people are seeing miracles happen in front of the eyes. People are seeing transformation. And unbelievable things are happening. Swami said, but yet the world does not come to know. Okay, and then Swami went on to say that, see, you're sitting in your dining room and you're having your dinner. And when you're seeing the TV, the news comes that a plane did not land properly in San Francisco or something like that. And sitting in your dining room in India, you know what was the problem in that plane and why it didn't land properly.
Correct.
Okay, that is how much the world has progressed in information broadcasting. In such a world where networking and information spread so fast, so much is happening around Swami, but how come the world does not know? And Swami went on to say, I've put a big hand stopping all that. And then Swami looked down, and as you said, you know, boys are pressing Swami's feet so that you all get this chance. And he said, the day I lift my hand, the day I let the world come, then
you will witness miracles of another kind.
And you, God knows whether you will have a space around me.
I think, you know, Prem, that time is slowly coming, because you spoke of a time when Swami was physically here and doing so much, yet nobody in the world seemed to be noticing. Now we are facing those times when Swami apparently doesn't seem to be here, and yet so many people are noticing and arriving. And this is almost a routine affair now, Prem. Even 3 days ago,
sorry to break your this one. Yeah. Before you do that, let me just complete this thing. The last and the interesting part, you know, the person who shared this with us, one of the old students who were there, he was actually, this was during the summer vacation, and he was staying in Bangalore in his house. So after this session, he went back home. So his routine would be to go back home, have his dinner, and before he sleeps, he would watch the news for a while.
Okay,
and he comes back in his home in Bangalore, he switches on the TV, and the first thing the news anchor says is, The plane did not land properly in San Francisco.
Oh my God. Wow.
Let us bring you the details of that incident.
Wow.
You know, wow.
You know, that is Swami's beauty. One incident, usually we try to, you know, like, we like to make it like a moral class textbook, you know. This is a experience, this is a lesson, this is a experience, this is a lesson. But with Swami, each experience, each incident has so many different lessons embedded in it.
Very true.
I was thinking that the lesson from that incident is that Swami's greatest miracle, that His glory is not spreading itself, is a miracle. But then there is this incident of omnipresence, omnipotence. Wow. And continuing along the thread that I left off, just 3 days back, I got the chance to address some of the people from Orissa.
Mm-hmm.
There were about 200 people gathered there, and nearly 100 of them were first timers to Prashant Nilayam. I was surprised because, you know, all said and done, when Swami was physically here, a contingent from any part of the world or any part of the country did not consist of more than 10 to 15% of newcomers. And of late, almost all contingents seem to be having nearly 50% of them as newcomers or first-time visitors. How can you explain this? Means, how can you explain the difference? If we do not know the incident that you narrated, it seems so confounding. But really, what you have said has brought in so much light, it makes sense now. That was the greatest miracle then. This is the greatest miracle now that seems to be happening.
Right. And the other dimension to that is, you know, that Swami who was so averse to people spreading His glory, in a sense, you know.
Exactly. He used to say, you need not talk about Sai Baba.
Right.
Just live His message.
And in fact, Swami would always advise His devotees, you know, not to get into an argument with those who try to malign Swami or those who, you know, bring up things which are falsehood, which are rumors around Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami would say, you don't have to support me. I don't need you to, you know, come
back
to my...
Back me or...
back me. Just keep quiet and move away. That's what Swami would say. You know, that Swami who for whom advertisement and popularity was something which was, you know, he didn't care anything about those things.
Correct. I remember that when they wanted to, you know, make some kind of publicity about the hospital, because all said and done, it's doing magnificent work that no other hospital in the world is doing. That is what Mr. Noble's grandson, great-grandson, was it?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Michael Noble.
When he spoke, he said, I have seen hospitals in the world that do fantastic charity act. I have seen hospitals in the world which are fantastic in their work they do, in their infrastructure. But to see a hospital with the fantastic infrastructure, as well as fantastic charity work going on, I think this is the one of its kind. That was the spirit of the statement that he made. I am not quoting him verbatim. But that is when such a hospital, they wanted to, you know, just publicize, not advertise, publicize about it. Swami said, no need. Every happy patient who walks out of the hospital is going to be a walking advertisement. So let us concentrate on just healing the patients, making them wholesome and happy. That is how Swami has
been. And imagine such a Swami who was, you know, did not want advertisement, did not want a massive scale spreading of what Swami is and what Swami stands for. Of course, you know, as you said, the spirit of Swami, the message which Swami is here to give, that was supposed to be spread, and that can be spread only if we live that message. But all said and done, you know, that Swami was coming and permitting something like a, you know, worldwide broadcasting to be set up. That was a very, very rare thing, literally, in the sense, because, you know, even when we read about Sanatan Sarathi, Swami was very, very particular that, you know, they should not advertise about this journal and ask people to subscribe to it.
Correct.
Swami said, if for a long time, the only way to subscribe to Sanatan Sarathi was if you come here. You know, they were not even kind of encouraging people sending postal requests.
Correct.
Swami said, if devotees come here, if they feel like carrying this message back to their home, then they can come and subscribe. You know, so even when we talk of Sanatan Sarathi, you know, Swami never talked about spreading it the way,
in fact,
you know, a radio could do.
The way Kasturi sir writes about it, he says that Swami said, people should await the Sarathi at their home. They should look up to the postman as if he is a harbinger of peace, joy. And if there is no Sarathi, Sanatana Sarathi at home, they should feel the lack in their lives. They should pine for it and crave for it. Because that is Swami. In fact, at this point, I'm reminded of another incident, Prem. It happened just 1 year back when we had been on a tour to the North Indian pilgrimage spots of Badrinath, Kedarnath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we had been there, speaking about, you know, how Swami almost treated the Sanatan Sarathi as a representation of himself.
Mm-hmm.
This was in 2012 and it was definitely after the Mahasamadhi. So when we had been there to the Himalayas, at Badrinath, we came across a person called Kedar Baba. It was very interesting to speak to him because the words that he was speaking, I felt that he had some kind of a divine connection because very profound words he was speaking. So all of us gathered around him, we were just listening. All the while in my heart, you know, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable because I'm thinking, Swami, I'm going to think of you speaking through him. Because it becomes tough for me to accept anybody else as a guru or a master. Because once I've accepted you as a master, whomever I see as God or master, I see you through him. While seeing that, one of the people in the group asked this Kedar Baba, Baba, what we should do for sadhana? And even as that person asked the question, I grimaced in some kind of internal pain. I felt, is this not being disloyal to Swami? Why should we ask somebody else for what sadhana we should do? Swami has given us so much. My heart thrilled and jumped in joy at the answer that Kedar Baba gave. You know, Kedar Baba said, why do you ask me? Your master has given you the way to do sadhana. Follow that. Follow whatever your master has told you. I was so touched by what he said and I felt so happy. And then came the next question. The next question was, but Baba, now he is gone. He has gone now. What do we do now? And then, you know, his answer, it is seared across in my heart because he said, you fool, murk, he said, you fool, do you think that the form is the avatar? The word is the avatar and the word never dies. You know, that statement is so, Roop Bhagwan, Roop avatar nahi hote, Shabd avatar hote hai. He said, it is a word of the Lord that is the avatar, not the form. The form may go, but the word remains forever. And, you know, I feel that that word of the avatar, at Radio Sai, we have got the chance to carry that word of the avatar. And it was not for any kind of publicity because Swami never wanted his name or form to be propagated. He wanted his word because his word is the eternal word. It is the truth. It is the same word that is spoken of in the Bible, in the Quran, in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is in order to spread joy, spread divinity, spread goodness through the word, through the spreading of the word, that I think Swami permitted the setting up of the Radio Sai studios, if you may call it so, or the Sanatan Sarathi too.
You know, I remember one thing which Swami had told a class of MBA students. I think maybe it was during the passing out time when Swami called them for an interview.
Mm.
And Swami said, you know, what does an ant do when it finds a piece of jaggery?
Carries it back home.
You know, what Swami said was, you know, it doesn't just sit there and eat that jaggery.
Correct.
It tastes the jaggery. It takes a bit of the jaggery and takes it to its colony where the other ants are. You know, shows the jaggery and says, taste this jaggery. Isn't it sweet? I know where it is. Come with me.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And Swami said, you all have tasted the nectar of being with Swami. Now you have to go and tell people that we have enjoyed this sweetness and the source is there.
Exactly.
And you know, that is the opportunity that we all have because we are not carrying a message in the sense of being a very neutral and form of technology where we're just carrying. We are actually have digested that
we have experienced
the joy,
tasted it,
and we are going and telling people that, you know, this is the joy we've enjoyed and we are sure you will enjoy it too.
Exactly, because there is lots for all to gain and benefit from, and that is why I feel so grateful to Swami, because we are not doing him any favor. In fact, we will come to that later, dear listeners, of what Swami spoke in the studio. But this much is definitely true, that we are doing a great service and a great favor unto ourselves by getting a chance to be part of sharing the Lord's stories. You know, at this point, I'm reminded of one incident that happened a defining moment, in fact, in the life of Sri Ramanujacharya, you know, the great saint, Indian saint. Sri Ramanujacharya was very eager to get initiated into a mantra.
Right.
And for this mantra, he had to visit his guru, Nambi, who stayed far away from his native place. And this was a great distance in those days. There were no modern ways of transport. So he had to walk. He had to walk this distance. And it is said that for 18 different occasions he walked the distance, but did not succeed in getting the mantra from his guru Nambi.
Okay.
After 18 attempts alone, was the guru convinced that Sri Ramanujacharya, at that time he was just Ramanuja, he was not Ramanujacharya, that Ramanuja has the keenness and the worthiness to receive this mantra. And when that conviction came in his guru, he called him and whispered the mantra in the ear. And then he told him, see, this mantra is to be given to only those who are deserving of it. It should not be given to all and sundry. Because if you give it to all and sundry, you will have to suffer in hell. You know, the karma that you accrue will be very negative. So be careful, don't share it with everyone. Give it to those who deserve only, use it for yourselves, and then whispers the mantra. And you know what Ramanuja did immediately after receiving the mantra? He runs up and climbs the wall and stands on the gopuram of the temple. You know, the gopuram of the temple is often the highest point in the region.
It's always, actually, it's only in modern times we have flouted that norm.
And dwarfed it with other buildings. In fact, even when, you know, again, that's another thing, during 1975, during Swami's 50th birthday, that was when the gopuram for the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir was inaugurated. And at that time, it was the tallest structure in the whole of Puttaparthi. And Swami did not want any other building to be taller than the gopuram to come up close by. But, well, we have seen it being flouted openly. Outside, we have seen so many buildings crop up. But the idea behind that, Swami said, is that the gopuram should be like a beckoning light. Wherever a person is, he should be able to see the gopuram, because gopuram is indicative of God. Wherever you may be lost in life, if you see, you will find God. That is the idea. But I think it is symbolic how the way we have surrounded ourselves with materialism, that when we look, we are not able to see the light on top of the gopuram. But then Ramanujacharya, yes, he climbs up the gopuram and shouts out and says, anybody who is interested in redeeming himself, please come over here. And a huge gathering of hundreds of people takes place, and then he shouts out the mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya, the Ashtakshari mantra. He shouts it out and says, this is the mantra, redeem yourselves. When his guru Nambi gets to know of it, he is livid in rage. He comes to him and he says, Ramanuja, don't you know that you will be suffering lives in hell because of what you have done? What negative karma you have accrued? How do you know everyone is fit? Then he says, forgive me, Guru, my intention was not to hurt you or insult you or insult the mantra. I know what a struggle I have gone through to get this mantra. I don't want such people. I don't want people to get deterred away from God because of such struggle. And therefore, even if one person out there is going to benefit from it, I don't mind going through hell millions of times, even if one person benefits from it. And I'm sure there are so many who seek in this manner. If it is going to grant moksha and liberation to hundreds out there, what is the problem in me suffering hundreds of lives and birth in hell? I don't mind that. You know, that was the selflessness with which Ramanuja propagated the mantra publicly. Hearing this, you know, this was also a kind of test that the guru put. Because in an instant, the guru appeared calm and serene. He embraced Ramanuja. In fact, it is said that when the guru had to select somebody to occupy the seat after he is leaving, he wanted it to be Ramanuja, because in Ramanuja he found the ideal blend of courage, perseverance and selflessness. So today, you know, when we look at Swami's message, I feel that in order to cultivate in us that selflessness, that large-heartedness, that growing away from narrow-mindedness, that Swami has given us this opportunity to spread His teachings and spread the stories and the glories.
And many times, you know, when I look at it, an analogy which Swami gives comes to mind when Swami says that, you know, the frogs which live in the pond never get to taste the honey.
Correct.
But the bees come from afar and taste the honey. You know, when you sit here, you talk about Swami's message, you talk about the wonderful things that Swami has told. Many times that doubt comes, you know, have we experienced this already to share
very
it to
correct.
The world?
Mm.
You know, are we in a position to say that, you know, I have benefited from this completely before sharing it? One thing which always I tell myself is, Swami, let us be those frogs which keep croaking and let the bees know that there is a pond here.
Correct.
You know, the bees hear the, even though the frog itself has not tasted the honey, the frog is telling the bees that I'm living in a pond where there's a lotus and the lotus has honey in it.
Hmm.
Maybe we'll do it with a prayer that one day the lotus itself takes pity on this frog, you know, which is sitting there and croaking all the while and gives the taste of this nectar. You know, what else can we seek but that?
Very true, Prem. And yes, if we are frogs, why not be frogs that croak out the presence of the Lord? That's all it is. At times we may not have tasted the nectar that the bees that come from afar taste and go. But let us, you know, revel in croaking about the glory of the Lord. Dear listeners, it's 1:05 p.m. in our studios. We will be back after this short break and definitely share with all of you the most wonderful 35 to 40 minutes that happened in the studio, in this very recording floor that we are seated and having the satsang. We will share details of a satsang that took place exactly 11 years ago. And what a memorable satsang that was. So, be right there. Don't go away. We'll be back after this break.
పై నిలచిన సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం ప్రేమ కురు పై నిలచిన సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం జగముల నేలే సద్గురు సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం ప్రకృతి పృథివీ పులకించ మమత సమతలు వెలుగొందవా ప్రేమ కురు పై నిలచిన సాయికి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం శిరోజమకుటాధారికి సార్వభౌమ స్వాగతం మందహాసవదనునికి సాదరమైన స్వాగతం ప్రేమను పంచి శాంతిని పెంచే ప్రాణమూర్తికి స్వాగతం ప్రేమను పంచి శాంతిని పెంచే ప్రాణమూర్తికి స్వాగతం భక్తిని ముక్తి నిరయమును సంగే కరుణామూర్తికి స్వాగతం మగమా మగమా గమదనిదా గమదని సనిద మగమగరిసా మగమా మగమా గమదనిదా గమదని సనిద మగమగరిసా మా ప్రేమ కురుపై నిలచిన సాయి స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం దయతో నిండిన నయనునికి నవ్యమైన స్వాగతం తేనె కురిపించు కంఠునికి మాధుర్యమైన స్వాగతం చెక్కిలి పైన చుక్కతో ఉన్న చక్కని సాయికి స్వాగతం చెక్కిలి పైన చుక్కతో ఉన్న చక్కని సాయికి స్వాగతం కలలో ఇలలో ఎన్నడు వీడని మా స్వామికి స్వాగతం magama magama gamadani da gamadani sani dama gamadari sama prema kurupai nilachina saiki swagatam suswagatam jagamulanele sadguru saiki swagatam suswagatam prakriti prithvi kulakincha mamata samadalu velugundama prema kurupai nilachina sai swagatam suswagatam gamadani sani dama gamagarisa magama magama gamadani da gamadani sani dama gamagarisa magama magama gamadani da gamadani sani dama gamagarisa.
Welcome back, dear listeners, and as we promised before the break, we are now going to dive directly into some of the wonderful guidelines and vision for the studio that Swami imparted on that beautiful day, 29th of August 2002. So yes, Prem, so it is on this very chair that Swami sat, and of course he blessed all the equipment that had been displayed here, and the whole studio and all the equipment here were a gift of love from the director of TVS Electronics, Shri Gopal Srinivasan,
right.
And he offered everything to Swami to be used as Swami wills in a manner that is beneficial to the whole world. That was his prayer, and that is one of the things that Swami said that day. Swami said that I have nothing to do with this. It was amply clear that Swami was not doing this in order to glorify himself he made it very clear that
Swami said there is nothing to gain or lose for me.
Exactly. But means his glory is not affected whether Radio Sai is there or it is not there. But it was the devotee's pining, and he wanted it in order to make him happy. Swami has permitted it. He made it very clear.
Right.
And I think that in itself is such an important lesson for us to keep in mind, that we are not doing Swami a favor by the work that we do. If at all there are any beneficiaries, the foremost among them are ourselves. It is an opportunity that we have got to relive his glory and story.
And you know, the many things which Swami did when he went around here, Swami blessed the camera, Swami blessed the new mics which were kept.
Mm. And the replicator.
Right. I remember that small incident which happened when Swami came to the replicator.
Mm.
When they told Swami that, Swami, usually when you prepare a CD, the CD is sent to Singapore where it is replicated. Okay, now we have got this equipment because of which the replication can be done here. And the first thing Swami asked was, do you still have to send it to Singapore?
Uh-huh.
They said, no, Swami, it's not required now, we can do it here. And Swami was so happy, and that is very good. It has to be done here. It has to be done here. And you know, stemming out from the discussion we've been having the past couple of days within ourselves, you know, the need to use resources which are native and which are, you know, that come from India. The joy which Swami had when you said, what was supposed to be outsourced, now you can do it here.
Correct.
And that is something which we all have to strive to do.
And that has been, you know, Swami's vision for everything. Even when it comes to the SSS VIP, Sri Sathya Sai Village Integration Program. Of course, Swami gifts, you know, Swami gifts water, Swami gifts food. He starts off first. But then his objective and goal is make sure that that village does not depend on any others for anything else, including health, education, and that is what he calls it as a Sai ideal village. The teachers in the schools of the village must be from the village itself. The people who stitch clothes must be from the village itself. Each village should become a self-sufficient unit, and that is what makes Swami happy. And today when we look at, you know, the immediate crisis that India faces in terms of the rupee devaluation against the dollar, you know, putting into practice these things that Swami said, Swami loved, seems to be the way out, because it has to start at the micro level. It's the drops that constitute the ocean. Definitely, even that look of joy, you know, beaming bright happiness, when Swami hears that, it can be done here, we need not take it to Singapore. That itself is such a powerful message, you know, just seeing. No wonder that video has become the induction training video for anyone who wishes to join or who joins Radio Sai.
And then of course he went around and finally he sat on the chair, because I remember so many times Swami was offered the chair, but Swami said, no, I'm not yet done. You know, he was going around looking at all the equipment. And I think one of the first things that Swami did after he sat down was he said, you all must be very grateful to Gopal Srinivasan for setting up this thing.
Correct.
You know, that's a very, very important point. Before we go into anything else, you know, in our life, we get good things from many people, you know, and we know for sure that they are only instruments of, you know, Swami is benefiting us through these people, and Swami is giving us His love through these people. But it is also important to remember those who are instrumental in us receiving it. Even though in the back of our minds we know where the source is actually, Swami was telling us that you should also have gratitude for the person who has been the medium.
Exactly. That is really powerful, because sometimes, you know, we use some of the highest philosophies to our convenience. Make a highest high philosophy into a convenient philosophy. You know, we say that it's Swami who is giving everything, so why should I be grateful to anybody else? If everything is Swami's will, it's happening. I mean, that is also not right. Yes, we are getting things through an instrument of the Lord. Swami is choosing him as an instrument. And because he or she was fit enough to be the instrument of the Lord, we should be grateful to them. Because they are the channel, they are the medium through which God's love is flowing to us. In the same way, you may say that, you know, a flute player, it's the magic because the flute player is playing it. But then you see, even the flute player, that is a tradition in India, bows down to his flute, respects and reveres his flute. Even in the West, if you see, they may not, you know, openly or directly bow down before the flute, but the way they preserve the instrument, the way that it is given respect, they treat the case in which the flute is kept almost like an altar of the Lord. Why? Why is it? Because it is not the instrument that is playing anything, but the instrument is being good enough to allow you to play and exhibit your talent, and therefore it needs to be worshipped and you need to pay gratitude and homage to it. In the same way, Swami also, one of the first things he said, not one of the first thing that he said after sitting down was, you should be grateful to Gopal Srinivasan for having set up this whole thing. And that is a lesson for us in life. Though everything that we get in life is from God, we should definitely be grateful to the instruments through whom it comes to us.
And I think everything, all values stem from that. Even what Swami says about having respect for parents. Swami always tells parents that, remember, you're only a trustee. You know, you're only a caretaker. But Swami
they're
always,
not your children.
Yeah, right. And Swami always tells the children to be grateful to the parents for what they've given.
Correct.
You know, in one side, Swami is making sure that everybody in the equation understands that they're only instruments. But at the same time, give the due respect and the gratitude which is, you know, which is the person deserves.
At the same time, as you said, you know, Swami reminds us also that all are nothing but instruments. Because Swami says that gratitude must be given to Gopal Srinivasan, but then he goes on to say, but this gratitude must not be just a surface ephemeral gratitude. He says it must be a deep gratitude. And that gratitude refers to the gratitude that we have to pay to the divine.
And in fact, you know, one of the points that Swami made in that context, especially about Mr. Gopal Srinivasan, Swami not only said that I have nothing to do with this, Swami also said he also has nothing to do with this.
Correct.
You know, he has established this whole thing.
He is not
so
related
money
to this in any manner.
Right. And Swami said, you know, it's not just about the money. He said he visited this place in the past few months much more than he visited even his own office.
Correct.
No, that was how much effort and intensity he put in through this to this project. And then Swami said he also has nothing to do with this. His connection also is only with Swami.
Correct.
And because he enjoyed Swami's message, he thought that Swami's message is so valuable, it has to be taken to the world, he has put up this whole thing. So his connection is only with Swami.
What an example that is, Prem. You know, Swami saying that Gopal Srinivasan has nothing to do with the studio. I mean, he's not attached to the studio is not attached to him. But he did it because out of his love for Swami. That gives us, not only the people working in Radio Sai, but any one of us, the way that we should carry out our work. We do our work not because we are attached to the work is not attached to us. We do it as an offering because we love Swami and we want Swami to be happy. I think if each one of us in the world does our work in this manner as an offering to Swami to make Swami happy, not because we are attached to the work or we expect to get something out of the work, then work automatically becomes worship.
And then Swami also said that the gratitude is giving respect to that relation between Mr. Srinivasan and me. You know, he has done this whole thing for his love for me. Respecting that love that he has for me, you also work properly. And that Correct. Is a gratitude you can show.
And that kind of gratitude is possible only if you have strong faith and determination, Swami said. So, he continues saying that in order to have such faith and determination, what is most important? Swami says, you have to foster a mind that doesn't waver, and you have to foster a vision that does not get deluded. It was just, you know, a statement that dropped out of his mouth so casually. But if we ponder about this, it shows the way for anyone who wishes to be a Sai messenger. A Sai messenger should have strong faith and determination, which comes by fostering a mind that doesn't waver and fostering a vision that is not deluded. You know, even a simple thing like today, for example, if we say that Swami is no longer with us, he has taken Mahasamadhi. A statement like that, if I make, it only shows that I am not steady in my mind, I am wavering in my mind, and that I am deluded in my vision. Am I blind? Can I not see His glory propagating and spreading in the world by the minute? When I am turning a blind eye to it, when I am deluded in my vision or wavering in my mind, then only such thoughts come in. And such thoughts are not good at Radio Sai. If I get a thought like that, the medium, you know, Swami later on, maybe I'm jumping the gun, but he says that what is spoken amidst these four walls will be going around the world. So, therefore, it is so important that people who work here have steadiness of mind and a vision that is not deluded, because if you have a deluded vision, delusion is what you will be propagating in the world.
And the other way, what strikes me in this statement of Swami saying that mind that does not waver and the vision that is not deluded. See, anybody who wants to take Swami's message to the world, whether, as a sadhana or otherwise, because Swami says everybody is an instrument, you know, whether you want it or not. Because the moment you come to Swami, you start following what Swami says as part of His message. Whether you like it or not, you become a messenger of Swami. I feel when Swami says a mind that does not waver is, the idea of all of us here as part of, you know, Swami's Radio Sai team is to take Swami's message forward. And that is the focus of the mind. In this process, we might find so many distractions. You know, one of the main distractions one could probably think of is when people come and tell you that, wow, you're such a profound, you know, you're such a good messenger of Swami. You know, you're a person who speaks so well. You're a person who has a very good clarity about Swami's message. You know, these are all things which can actually take your focus away from what your mind is supposed to be focused on.
Very true.
You know, the focus of the mind is supposed to be on, this is Swami's message, I'm taking it to people who need it. You know, there is no glory attached to me in this process.
Because I'm just an instrument.
I'm only an instrument. So I feel that is one of the ways in which the mind can waver. And when Swami says, you know, you keep yourself away from the delusion of the vision. Again, the vision is the belief that yes, this is the redeeming message. And there is no doubt about that. But as you said, you know, we all believe that Swami is always with us. But every now and then that thought, is Swami really there? You know, because we saw Swami when He was there physically. Now He's not to be seen. So all said and done, one aspect of Swami's presence is missing. But it is to get back that vision and, you know, not let the vision delude it. And say that, no, I believe that Swami is definitely there and I know it. And reconfirm our faith. Just to put it in that particular context of missing Swami. I think that is what Swami is saying, that you have to keep yourself focused on what you are doing this for.
And when we are able to keep that focus, from personal experience, I am convinced that Swami gives more experiences to reaffirm that same. You know, when you constantly tell yourself and you know that, you know, Swami is very much there. Even as we are speaking this, Swami is sitting and listening. When you keep that faith steady and firm, it is rewarded. you know, let me share with you what happened just about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a group of devotees who had come from Trinidad.
Okay.
Trinidad and Tobago, and they were in the ashram, and when they were here, you know, I happened to meet one of them, and after a talk, they were very inspired, they were feeling very thrilled. One of them got up and said, you know, I want to take a golden pendant for my child. I want to take padukas for so and so. I want to take vibhuti for so and so. I want to take this, I want to do this, I want, you know, the total number of things that he wanted to take was pretty large. And I said, this is very noble of you, because Trinidad is on the other side of the globe. If you are carrying from Prashanthinilam, part of Prashanthinilam for different people, it's wonderful. Please go ahead. He said, but I have one desire. What is it? He said, I want to get all these blessed at the Samadhi. You know, because now people see that as the equivalent of Swami's physical blessing. So this, he said, I want to get this at the blessed at the Samadhi. And at that point I was thinking, now what do I do? Because, you know, he is not allowed. They are not allowed to carry such stuff to the Mahasamadhi. So after thinking for long, praying and, you know, going through some kind of inner churning myself, thinking that this person has such a noble idea, what should be done? I finally volunteered. You know, as staff, we, whether it is a, when any special event comes in the life, in our life, whether it is, you know, whether it's a marriage or whether it's your mother's birthday, you can go get a sari blessed at the Mahasamadhi and take it back. So as staff, we have those privileges. So I thought, why don't I use that privilege, take all this person that he has given, I thought I'll bundle it in a bag, take it, and I'll get it blessed on his behalf at the Mahasamadhi, if that is going to make him so happy. So this was the plan. So when I told it to him, he was amenable to it. So he packed everything in one bag, small bag, and gave it to me. So that bundle was with me in the studio. And he was leaving that midnight. So I had about half a day left. And I thought in the evening session, I will get the blessings from the Mahasamadhi. Now this was the plan. But that evening turned out to be one of the most hectic evenings in terms of work here. I was involved in an interview in the studio here. I had to go out to do some shooting. At the same time, I had to meet some people to make some remaining payments. All this happened, and it was almost 6:35 in the evening when I realized that that bag is still sitting at my desk in the studio, and I had to rush it because now Mahasamadhi Darshan is going on in the evening. So I run, pick up the bag, rush there, walk in. I go and I kneel down at the Mahasamadhi, and I'm about to place the bag at the Mahasamadhi, to my pleasant shock, if I may call it, right there at the Mahasamadhi, kneeling down, is this very person who wanted to get this blessed. He's shocked. And he says, wow, you waited all the while for me to come so that I can get it blessed. I told him, no, I did not wait. You just go ahead. So, you know, from the viewpoint of the volunteer, it was as if here was a person helping a staff member open the bag and take out different stuff to get it blessed at the Samadhi. But in reality, it was him placing each of the different objects that he had purchased. He got it blessed at the Samadhi and he walked out. And he told me, what timing, brother? I told him, the timing was perfect, but it was not mine. It was... And he had tears in his eyes. And then, seeing the tears in his eyes, I had tears in my eyes. I felt, you know, I almost felt as if I had had an interview for a minute with Swami. It was almost like that, because so vibrant it was, and both of us cherished that incident even to this day. You know, in these small ways, that's why, you know, we had that discussion of Swami being the God of small things. In these small ways, he shows that he knows everything, he is listening, and nowadays, I must confess that such coincidences and such examples of precise and perfect timing seem to be happening a lot more frequently. What else is this other than the presence that Swami is showing in our lives?
And I think, you know, bringing in the same thing what you were saying and what Swami says about gratitude here, I think it's very important, because the more you give gratitude, the more you can feel humble. As we said, you know, when Swami says that you have to be grateful for this, at every situation in life and everything which you receive, if you keep giving gratitude, I think it occupies the space which otherwise would be occupied by the feeling that I've earned this opportunity.
I deserve this.
And, you know, I've worked my way into this chance of being what I am, or, you know, receiving what I am. But instead, if you just keep giving gratitude, like what Swami said, show gratitude, and not just superficial gratitude, but deep gratitude, that you are actually removing the chance for any other feeling of pride to take that space.
Beautiful. The other thing that Swami then said, we are not going exactly in the chronological order, but Swami said that energy, you know, energy is very important. And energy expresses itself through all the five senses. That is hearing, smell, touch, taste, and smell. Yeah, I think. Yeah, all the five. Yeah, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. So Swami said, therefore see no evil, see what is good. Hear no evil, hear what is good. Talk no evil, talk what is good. Think no evil, think what is good. Do no evil, do what is good. This is the way to God. And this is the way you will sanctify the energy from all the five senses. That is another important guideline that he gave to all the people who had assembled here.
And, you know, I think in the same context, Swami was talking about the four wastages one has to avoid. That of time,
energy,
food,
And money. Exactly. You know, these guidelines are immortal. They last forever. Because even to this day, you know, it is not as if it was relevant at the opening of the studio and now it is not. It is not like that. Even to this day, we find each of those things coming to our rescue and our use every moment as we work in the studio.
And, you know, some of these things, as you said, it is, you know, we are talking of it as Swami came, inaugurated the studio and spoke to the studio boys.
Mm.
But actually, if you look at it in the true sense, these were for boys or youngsters or even the other people who are here who are sitting in front of their master with the desire to take to the spiritual path and reach him finally. Because everything which Swami says here is, in essence, a guidelines to that. Because when, you know, Swami is saying about don't waste time, don't waste energy, and something where Swami is telling that you are going to take Swami's message. And one point Swami makes is, what actually makes me happy is only practice. You know, you can spread this to the whole world. At the end of the day, you can come and tell that, you know, 1,000 people listen to this program. Or you can say that I took Swami's discourse and 500 people heard it all online.
Correct.
You know, that's not what is going to make me happy. He said, put it into practice and that will make me more happy than the spreading that you do.
Correct. At the same time, while you're practicing, you know, I remember Brother Sai Prakash, who was seated there, he told Swami, Swami, there are some really very old and amazing videos of Swami that we have got. Just seeing them makes us so happy. Even as he completed his statement, Swami said, hey, it's not enough if you see and you're happy. Share it with everyone. Those who are not able to see it in the studio, share it with everybody. And that has become such a guiding light for us working here when we think of the different, you know, Sai Blossom products or DVDs that we make. We talk of the Advent and talk of the other documentaries. Everything that we are making, they have all been videos that have given us tremendous joy as we have viewed them. And we have, based on Swami's guidelines, thought out on what is the best possible way that the whole world can see this and presented it through these documentaries. In fact, you know, currently, dear listeners, we are working on a documentary on the Swami, on the 50th birthday celebrations of Swami.
Right.
And it is such a magnificent piece. You know, to see those videos of Prashanthi Nilayam in 1975, at that time there were only two big buildings, you know, of one of the Purnachandra Auditorium, one of the Mandir. Nothing else, the roads, the shops, all that we see, nothing was there. In fact, that was the birthday when the Gopuram was inaugurated. It was in the same year that the police station of Prashanthi Nilayam was inaugurated. It was in the same year that the Gokulam. The Gokulam where the cows are there. And you should see the video of Swami, you know, fondling those cows.
It's also the year the Rathotsavam started.
Exactly. Right? On the 18th of November, every year we have a Rathotsavam. And Swami said that, you know, the Lord is to be taken in a procession because there are many old, infirm, who are sick, who are not out for, or those who are busy in their work. Even to this day, we see that, you know, happening. When people are busy, they have to run their business for their daily bread. They're not able to leave their shops and come for darshan. Even Swami would do a kind of modern Rathotsavam, sitting in the porte car, going around Prashanti Township, going around Puttaparthi village and Prashanti Township, so that even those who are at work, if you are not able to come to God, God will come to you.
I think it's happened many times, even outside the studio, right? When boys don't come for darshan, you know, their work calls for them to be in their seats here. And suddenly there would be a call, Swami is coming out, and, you know, we have footages of boys standing outside the studio and having Swami darshan.
What beautiful moments those were.
The hospital boys having darshan and Swami goes
near the hospital,
ride.
Yes. I remember, you know, just at least 5-6 occasions when all of us are working in the studio and suddenly, you know, our cell phone start beeping. Swami is coming, Swami is coming, Swami is coming. All of us rush out. And it is so beautiful to see Swami at your workplace. And yes, so it was actually with this objective that if you are busy in your work, doing work as your worship, then the Lord will manifest even there. In order to spread this message, Swami started the Rathotsavam. That was the 50th birthday. I mean, yeah, we came to all this because of the 50th birthday documentary that's in progress. During the 50th birthday, Swami gave about 8 or 9 discourses. And each of those discourses, Prem, you know, it's like a, what can I say? It's like a clarion call. There were 3 conferences that was held that time. One was the Sevadal conference, one was the Balvikas Guru's conference, and one was the World conference. In all of them, Swami, you know, delineates his mission, his vision, and what he expects of the Satsai organization, what he expects from the women, what he expects from the men, from the children. It's so awesome. It's so wonderful. Seeing it itself got goosebumps all over my body. And therefore, just as Swami said, it's not enough that we see it and feel thrilled. We have to spread that joy to the world. And that is why it is being made. Dear listeners, that is the reason why even the production house called Sai Blossom has come into existence. So that we are able to share these beautiful things as Swami advised on that day.
And so, Arvind, we do hope that very soon you'll be sharing that which gave you so much joy. Because, you know, we have heard Swami himself refer to 50th birthday as a very, very grand event.
As a landmark event. That was the year when the stupa was inaugurated.
Right.
The Sarvadharma Aikya Stupa. And that is why it is 50 feet in height.
Right. And that was the year when Swami, for the first time and maybe the last time, gave darshan on a helicopter.
Oh, yes. That is the highlight. I mean, how could I have not mentioned that?
Right.
A helicopter darshan. And there was a Julotsavam, Swami sat on the Jula. There was a special Yagnam, Purushottama Yagna, never before, never after it has been done. A 5-day Yagna that was conducted on the same day, in the same year. And on the 25th of November, you know, Swami came to the balcony waving goodbye to all the devotees who had gathered. You know, it is such a beautiful and memorable birthday. And, you know, with prayers to Swami, I am on behalf of the video team at Radio Sai, I am putting out a promise that if not by Dasara, by this year's birthday, definitely this DVD on the 50th birthday celebrations will be out as a Sai Blossom production.
And you know, even as you were describing that wonderful birthday, that scene when Swami walked into the studio and came to the photograph session, section, and there were these old photographs laid there. And it was so beautiful to see Swami standing there recollecting some of those things.
That is, you know, my old mandir, he said.
That is my old mandir, and that is, you know, Seshamaraju, and, you know,
correct.
Swami is mentioning such things. And Swami started describing how the old mandir was and how it was transformed to what the mandir is today.
And for really a moment beautiful. With his description, Swami took everyone there back to those times, and everyone relived, and you could see that smile and serenity on every face. And that is the magic of memories, Prem. Reliving those memories. And really, we should all be grateful to Swami that he has left behind such a treasury of memories in terms of his writings, in terms of his audios, in terms of his videos. No other avatar before has ever left behind such a wonderful repository for posterity, which couldn't enjoy as much as everybody, for them to enjoy, for all of us to enjoy. What an act of supreme karuna and prema that is.
In fact, you know, that is the essence of Bhagavatam. That Parikshit who came a little late and felt, you know, oh God, I just missed the avatar. You know, could attain the same bliss, and if not more, and attain that final liberation just by listening to the, you know, description of the Lord's actions. Though he had technically missed the avatar, just whisker.
Correct.
So I think generations to come are lucky that way, that you know Swami permitted himself to be recorded electronically.
And some of the things that Swami said, mind-boggling at that time to imagine. You know, at that time it was thought that studio will be only a recording facility where we'll be having audios, and some amount of video shooting will go on, more in terms of audio restoration and audio work. But Swami said, do not separate radio work, audio work and video work. All should work as one. Have no differences. You know, you may specialize in some things, but have no differences and be united. All three should be one. And today, you know, if we look at it, what comes on radio is what later on goes onto the website also. And then comes as a text article too. We are now moving towards that kind of harmony and unity which Swami envisaged more than a decade before. At that time it made no sense. And today we just drop onto our knees in gratitude and awe at the kind of, you know, foresight that Swami had.
And also again coming to that point where I said, you know, Swami was addressing these, you know, set of devotees here, also giving them messages which are very important. Because though people sitting here were part of the broadcasting wing or that of the book trust who were sitting here, Swami wanted to remind them that you are here doing my work. Okay,
correct.
Don't say that you are doing audio work for Swami, you are doing video work, Swami, you are doing work for me. So if duty calls for you to shift from one section to the other, you do it. And that is what is something which we have to remember in life also. Whatever we are doing, if we keep that in our mind that we are doing this for Swami, the changes which will come in between will not actually affect us or make us unsettle us.
That is exactly what we spoke of in the beginning as not getting attached to the work or allowing the work to get attached to you. You should be attached only to Swami and everything else happens automatically then.
Absolutely. And in fact, the other very prophetic thing which Swami said was about the book trust. You know, when Swami was talking to the convener of the book trust,
Mr. Rajan,
Swami was asking him, you know, you should make the process of buying books faster.
I remember that discussion where Swami asked, what are you doing for the devotees? The devotees stand in long queues to buy books. Then he said that, you know, at that time book trust had introduced
computerized billing
and also dispatch of books around the world by courier. So they said, we are doing this. Swami said, that is no use, because if they carry the books while they are going into the bus, Swami made a joke. He said, you know, the cover breaks open and all the books fall out. And then Swami said something that seemed like a very esoteric idea at that time. He said, you know, if somebody feels that I want to read a book, he just presses a button and the book is there in his hand. So when Swami made this suggestion, nobody seemed to support it. In fact, Swami repeats it and says, this is how it should be. No waiting in queues, no holding, no carrying. You think of a book and you press a button and it comes. And then Swami says, this is also possible through computers. And it is very recently, a few weeks may be old, that finally the Books and Publication Division of Sadhana Trust has started coming out with e-books, which is fantastic and which is exactly what Swami said. People feel like reading a book and they just click a button and there it's downloaded and ready. See, these are some of the beautiful things that Swami said during that time, which made apparent no sense at that time, apparently, but had such prophetic meaning in them.
Right, you know, going back to the point which you made before this about Swami telling about audio, video being separate, the other little thing which happened, and you know, Swami grabbed that opportunity even again to give a profound statement, was when we turned to one of the boys and asked, where are you working? You know, one of the boys who walk with Swami, Swami looked at him and asked, where are you working? And he said, Swami, I work in the Central Trust. And you know, Swami gave an expression as though, what Central Trust? All of these are Central Trust.
Exactly.
You know, saying that everybody is working for the Central Trust. And then,
because just before that, I remember Swami asked one boy, where are you working? He said, Swami, I work in the radio section. And it was almost like, just now I have said that there is nothing like division. But the boy immediately realizes it. But then Swami says, yes, correct. And you know, he agrees that you have understood the spirit of the statement. And then he continues to ask each one, which section will you work in. So now everybody is aware that I am working in video, but as part of the whole. I have been given this chance. So everybody says. And that is when he asked this other boy, who is not even part of, apparently not a part of Radio Sai, and asked him, where do you work? He says, Swami, I work in Central Trust. Swami says, hey, everything is Central Trust. And then I think, Prem, this is most important. We must define what Swami defined as Central Trust.
Right. And Swami told very beautifully, what is Central Trust? Trust in the center, Swami said, pointing to his heart.
In the heart. Swami said the word heart also, Hridayam.
So having that trust in the center, which is the heart, that is Central Trust.
And therefore, Swami said, anybody who places complete trust in the center, that is in the heart, that is in Swami, becomes part of his Central Trust. Wow, isn't that a reassuring promise given to the whole world? And then comes the point where, you know, Swami speaks about how the elders and youngsters must mingle and work together. The energy of the youngsters must not be inhibited and curtailed by the elders. At the same time, the experience of the elders must be respected by the youngsters. And so he addresses the elders and tells that it is your duty to ensure that these people step into your shoes. You should give away control and allow the youngsters to step in.
And you know, Swami remembered some of the elders' names.
Correct.
Like Mr. Narasimhan, who was the
editor of Sanatan Sathya,
a few other people. And Swami said, you know, these are all people who have served Swami immensely. But they've all become old now.
They must be rested.
And the next generation
must be tested. That's what he said.
You know, tested in the sense they should be given the responsibility and be tested.
You know, though Swami said this, at the same time he also said to the youngsters sitting there, he said, but you must work in such a manner that all the elders must feel that the organization, the way it is going on now, is much better than when we were at our heydays. And therefore, they must feel very happy that you have taken over. That is another important point to keep in mind. It is not just saying that we want the power, we want office, we want to start working. Swami advises the elders to allow the youngsters to come up. At the same time, advises the youngsters that you cannot, you know, throw out the elders. The elders must happily relinquish their position because of the amount of good that you are doing. And therefore, your job is to do good and more good.
It's a very beautiful thing in the sense because Swami is telling that you are working for me, you have to satisfy me. But that could be a very, very wide and profound thing, and it would be difficult to make it a practical thing, you know, day to day, what do we do it? But here Swami is saying that, you know, these are people who have brought this organization to a certain level. Make sure that what you do henceforth pleases them also and satisfies them and keeps them happy about the way the progress is happening.
Again,
that
the
itself,
extension,
right, will be a way of pleasing me.
Again, that's an extension of give gratitude to Swami and give gratitude to the instruments of Swami who have also brought it up. One more important thing, you know, that Swami said was about timing. You know, Swami, this was in the context when Swami said money is important, time, don't waste money, don't waste time, don't waste. Then he said time is very, very important. You know, Shri Gopal Srinivasan had very ambitious plans. He said that within an year we will be having Web Darshan. That was 2003 then. We started having Web Darshan somewhere after 2011.
Right.
So
just 2 years back.
Yes. So when all this was suggested, Swami said, no, don't hurry. Time is important for everything. The boys are all fresh and new. Let them learn. Let them, you know, at least for a year, don't give them anything new to do. Let them just learn for a year. In fact, you know, that Swami didn't expect any sort of output for one complete year. He said, let them just learn for 1 year. And we can see this, you know, because Swami has always strongly believed in anything that comes up rapidly will also go down rapidly. And if you see his mission also, Prem, for almost 65 years of his life, nothing physical and external Swami apparently did. The hospitals, the water projects, the housing projects, all the magnificent social service projects that we speak of were all accomplished in less than the last 2 decades of his life. So, Swami always emphasized on the importance of slowly building up, but building up in such a manner that it will never go down, because a thing that comes up slowly is one that lasts. Anything that comes up fast will also go down fast. And so Swami says, let the boys take time. Let them slowly build up, learn. And as they learn, we can increase the work that they have to do.
And you know, at that point when Mr. Srinivasan is explaining that, Swami, we have this equipment and you know, we can do webcast, we can do this, we can do live mixing and all that thing. He was saying, Swami, you know, stopped him and said, use everything. Do whatever you want. Mm. Do as much as you want. Do whatever you want. Use it the way you want. But use it for good purpose.
Exactly. And in that same session, we also see an example of a person who seems to be doing exactly this. Using everything for a good purpose. Because that boy, our colleague here, he gets up and tells Swami, Swami, when Swami asks him, what is the work you're doing? He tells Swami, I'm doing this work. And then there are some other things that he has in mind that he has to do. So he just starts to tell Swami, Swami, this is also what I have planned to do. Even before he can complete his statement, Swami says, very good, very happy. Go ahead, do it, Bangaru. I bless you profusely. You know, it is so inspiring that even without listening to him, the kind of, you know, we talk about having faith in Swami, having confidence in Swami. The kind of faith and confidence that Swami has in that boy is so amazing. One for all of us to emulate. Something for us to emulate. Because without even listening to what he has got to say, Swami tells him, what you are doing is good, go ahead. That is the kind of confidence Swami has. It inspired me to think that, can I also be such a person that even before I can tell Swami what it is, Swami says, since you're doing it, I know it is perfect, go ahead. We should all strive to win Swami's confidence and faith in such a manner. And that is only possible by living scrupulously by the spirit and by the spirit of the words that he has given us.
And you know, when Mr. Srinivasan told Swami that, Swami, we can do all this and much more if we have your blessings.
Mm.
And you know, again, without even a moment's pause, Swami said, blessings enough are there. Lots and lots of blessings are there. You can do all this, and blessings not only for you, him, and you know, the people here. My blessings are there for the whole world.
Mm.
And again, reiterating that point, the Swami always says that when the intentions are good, things will just happen as they, you know, miraculously happen, and coincidences will become the order of the day.
Because that is the nature of the universe.
Right.
Speaking of the whole world, Swami said, I mean, at that time it's really unimaginable, but even at that point in time, Swami said, whatever is spoken between the four walls here will be going all around the world. And therefore, you have to be very careful what you speak. As far as possible, practice silence. And when Swami said silence, it is so evident that he didn't mean just the physical silence. It is also silencing of the many noises that we have internally, because it is only when we silence that can we hear the voice of God. It is only when we hear the voice of God can we, you know, spread the message of the Lord. And that is what has to be spread from a place that is broadcasting to the entire world. In fact, Swami goes on to say, do not have fights here. Because even if you fight here, it will be recorded. It will be, I mean, it seemed like a joke at that time. Swami said, if you fight here, it will get recorded and it will come off. It will come in print. But then, who knows what record is Swami speaking about? You know, I remember somebody saying that Swami had once said that every single good deed you do in the avatar's presence, you will reap 100 times the benefit, because the avatar is an amplifying force. But remember, every bad you do too will get amplified 100 times, because the Lord, the avatar, is an amplifying power. And therefore it is imperative that we, as Swami said, be good, see good, hear good and do good.
Talking about the inner silence which you mentioned, I remember once it seems Swami had told some students and staff, he said, see, when you have something in the mind, if you think of an action in the mind, nobody can reward or punish you for that.
Correct.
If you think of being violent against somebody, just think and don't act, nobody can punish you for that. But if you put that into action, you know, you might be reprimanded by a court, or you might be given imprisonment, or whatever
punishment.
Is punishment that goes with that action. So it is okay sometimes to do something which is bad, because you get punished and you get corrected. But what mistake is done in the mind is like an unpunished offense, which will build up on you.
Oh.
So you have to be careful of what, you know, the unseen and unpunished offenses which happen in your mind. So I think that is why mental silence is as important as physical or verbal silence.
Correct. And in fact, I feel mental silence will automatically result in physical silence, but the vice versa may not always be true. Among other things, there were also some lighter moments, you know, when, you know, Swami was saying that, speaking about computers, you know, they said that, Swami, the errors will reduce, everything will become good, perfect, because we are doing with computers. Again, you know, Swami emphasized on what he always says that, you know, this was not said in that session, but Swami always says computer is not important, the composer, the person who handles the computer is important. Emphasizing that spirit, Swami again said, but you know, you cannot rely completely on the computer, because even computer gets diseases. And everybody laughs. Swami says, yes, it gets cough, cold. You know, we know cough, cold is caused by a virus. And Swami was referring to the computer viruses. He then points out to an elder and says, right? Isn't it right? Computers also get these diseases. Then they nod and everybody smiles and laughs. And what a sweet, innocent way of introducing computer viruses.
And maybe as a last point, we can share about the first point which Swami made in the discussion, literally. Because when Swami made that very profound connection between knowledge, skill, balance and insight. Now, Swami said knowledge is available everywhere, you know, where I think in other literature of Swami also is there that if knowledge is what you seek, it is there in plenty, especially in the world today, in the form of books, in the form of, you know, the knowledge
websites
which is available
in
the internet. It's all there. But Swami, in this discussion, you know, when he was sitting here and talking, Swami said that knowledge has to be converted into skill.
It has to be skilled, yes.
Knowledge has to be skilled. And when you skill knowledge, then you will get balance. And when you are in the state of balance, you will get insight. And in the contrary, Swami said, if you don't skill knowledge and you kill knowledge, then you will go out of balance.
It will lead to imbalance and your outlook won't be right.
And when the balance goes, your outlook will not be right.
So Swami said it is so important. It's not important that you gather knowledge, but you skill knowledge, how you use that knowledge. It's almost like science versus technology. Knowledge and science are neither good nor bad. It is technology or how we skill it what matters. Because technology can be good or bad. Science as such is neither good nor bad. In the same way, knowledge is neither good or bad. How we put that knowledge into action can turn good or bad. As you said, that was the foremost thing, and Swami emphasized on it very strongly. In fact, he said, what is the insight that you get? Swami used a Sanskrit term for it. For insight, he said, it is antardrishti, which means, in English again, it's literally insight, but
looking
it also
within.
Means looking deep within, looking inside and having a vision of the divine. So Swami said that if you are able to skill knowledge, you will get balance, which is equanimity, because of which you will get a vision of the divine, which is insight, which is antardrishti. So, if we see how it reads as if we are able to skill knowledge properly, it will result in the ultimate goal of human life, which is vision of the divine. And in that, Swami has charted out the karma marga for all of us working at Radio Sai, for all of us who wish to be Sai messengers, for all of us who wish to be messengers of good and God, using karma yoga to have antardrishti or vision of the divine.
And, you know, talking of this knowledge and skill connection, the other thing that Swami said was, you all are clever, you know, you all are well educated, you all have that knowledge, but along with that knowledge, you also need yukti. Swami said tact.
Tact.
And Swami immediately added that not knack. You know, knack is a kind of cunningness.
Correct.
And that is why Swami said, when you have knack and knowledge, it is like killing knowledge. You will use knowledge for personal benefit. You will use your knowledge.
You will misuse knowledge.
To justify your acts. You know,
Correct.
You can do anything. And that is what we've seen, because spirituality is so large and so difficult to grasp that you can do any act and you can justify it. And Swami, that's what Swami was saying, that, you know, knowledge with tact will benefit the society, and that will become skill. And as we pointed out skill to balance and balance to insight.
So dear listeners, as we are speaking, we have got a few more points, but most of the important points we have covered. The time in the studio is 1:58 and Brother Chandu is already here in order to start his segment, which is next in line, Love to Love. So thanking you all for your patient hearing. We hope that you enjoyed us reliving that beautiful day, 29th of August 2002, when Swami visited the studio. We loved reliving it, and we will be reliving it many more times in our day-to-day life because it has got so many messages. Any insight that you have about this satsang, please do feel free to write to us at listener@radiosai.org. Offering our gratitude at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami, who is always present here with us, in us, above us, around us, we leave you with this song, after which on the other side, it will be Brother Chandu with Love to Love.
Jeeva mula jeeva nirvana sopana.